In Romans chapter 8, verse 14, Paul writes, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." One of the professors that had just retired when I arrived at Harding University, James Bales, James wrote about 80 books, and he was a walking Bible. And he wrote a book entitled The Holy Spirit and the Christian. And in that book, he tells the story of a 23-year-old girl explaining how her 18-year-old sister walked into a river in September of 1948. She said, until the water was pretty well over her head. Well, why did she do this? She explained she was led by the Spirit. And she said that as her sister walked into the water, she told her, faith is the victory. When asked at a trial why she didn't try to help her sister, she said, I made a step and I was pushed back by the Spirit. And so her sister drowned. Which raises the question, was the Spirit really leading her? And if it wasn't the Spirit leading her, how can we be sure that it was not the Spirit that was leading her? Now don't miss the point. If the Bible is not our final authority, instead of our inclination or our feelings, we can't know that this was not the leading of the Holy Spirit. If the Bible is not our final authority, what does it mean to be led by the Holy Spirit? In 1966, the presidents of World Council of Churches in their meeting stated that the Holy Spirit is our helper. And this is what their statement said. The Holy Spirit has come, still comes, and will come to our aid and our rescue. And then they quoted John 14, 26 that reads, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I said to you. And as they continued, as they were speaking of the task which before them, they said, we do not choose these tasks. We were chosen for them. The reason why we are engaged in them at all is because God called us by the Holy Spirit to attempt them, and by that same Spirit evoke the response of obedience by in us. And then they quoted John 16:13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. And so obviously, that religious group believed that the Spirit literally led them, whether they wanted to go or not, but the Spirit led them in all of these endeavors, in all these ways. So, is that right? Is the promise of John chapter 16, verses 12 and 13, to you, to me? Let's get our Bible and turn to John 16, verses 12 and 13. Now we're going to look at some passages that are the most abused passages on the Holy Spirit in the Bible. And they're abused because they're taken out of context. But look at John 16 verses 12 and 13. I still have many things. This is Jesus speaking to his apostles. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Is that promise to you? Well, first of all, in the immediate context, Jesus is meeting with his apostles on the final night before he's arrested. They've been in the upper room shortly before they go to the Garden of Gethsemane. These are some words that Jesus is going to speak to them. In chapter 13, you remember, he washed their feet. In chapter 14, he assured them that if he goes away, he will come again. In chapter 15, he told them that if the world hates them, remember that it hated him before it hated them. Verse 18. And so this is the immediate context of these passages. Jesus is speaking to his apostles shortly before they go to the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, secondly, the apostles were promised that the Spirit would bring to memory the things that Jesus had taught them. John 14:26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, watch this, and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Now, that promise can apply, it can't apply to me. It can't apply to you unless you and I were alive during Jesus' ministry. He's not said anything to me personally. He's not said anything to you personally. So how could he bring to remembrance something that you've never heard from him? Of course, this promise was for his apostles. It was invaluable to these apostles. They remembered truth by inspiration of the Holy Spirit because the New Testament had not been written and assembled. And so today, our challenge is not for the Spirit to bring to remembrance the things that Jesus told us or guide us in truth. Our challenge is to rightly divide the word of truth with diligence. Now, thirdly, Jesus showed that those to whom he sent the Helper or the Comforter would bear witness of him. Look at John 15, verse 26. You notice that? 14, 26. Now 15, 26 and 7. John 15, 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Now that last sentence is verse 27. It's really important. You'll bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Notice, these apostles are going to bear witness. In fact, they were eyewitnesses. And so they're going to bear witness because they have been with Jesus from the beginning of his ministry. If this verse applies to you, you are really old. Because you would have been with Jesus. You can't bear witness, especially eyewitness, with promise of the Holy Spirit's help unless verse 27 applies to you. You will also bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. When the apostle was chosen to replace Judas Iscariot, one of the qualifications was, guess what? Acts chapter 1, 21. Therefore, of these men who have accompanied us all that the time that the Lord went in and out among us, notice they were eyewitnesses in his ministry, beginning from the baptism of John to that day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. And so they were eyewitnesses. That's what Jesus is talking about in this passage. You also bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. That promise can apply to us. were not eyewitnesses. Fourthly, the Spirit was to guide the apostles into all truth. In fact, the Spirit would not only remind them what Jesus had said, but the Spirit would then teach them all things that they needed to know. Back to 14:26, but the Helper of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. And so Jesus had not taught them everything they needed to know during his personal ministry. In fact, verse 12 of John chapter 16, Jesus says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But they'd learn them. They would learn these things by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 16, verse 13, that Holy Spirit was going to guide them into all truth. Today, all truth has been revealed by the Holy Spirit. All truth, spiritual truth that we need. And this was accomplished by the Holy Spirit before the last apostle died. 2 Peter 1:3, excuse me. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. 2 Peter 1:3, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. So what do we need that we don't have? What hasn't been revealed that should be revealed? Nothing. We've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. The apostles didn't have the written Bible, not the New Testament, but they wouldn't need it because the Holy Spirit was guiding them into all truth even as they wrote it. How dare anyone claim that they don't need the written word today? By the way, if that's the case, well, they should be writing down their thoughts and attaching them to their Bible, because they're claiming that their words are just as inspired, God-breathed, as the apostles. Now, fifthly, the Holy Spirit declared to them the things that are to come. We're back to chapter 16, verse 13. That last phrase in that verse. And he will tell you things to come. Who today can, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, tell us of the things to come? Now, a lot of folks claim to be able to. But just keep track of it, right? Just keep track and see if the things that they are prophesying come true. We're not talking about obvious trends, which, you know, if they continue, then the outcome will be certain. We know that we reap what we sow, but that's not what Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about being moved by the Holy Spirit, guided by the Holy Spirit, with miraculous knowledge of what was going to happen in the future, far beyond that reap what you sow speculation. So, those are the passages most often used out of context, made to say things that they're not saying. So what does it mean to be led by the Spirit? Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Paul wrote about Christians in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. By the way, there's no condemnation for those who are walking in the Spirit. But there are some walking according to the flesh. There are some who are walking according to the Spirit. In verse 13, look here in chapter 8, Romans 8, verse 13. For if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. He's talking about spiritually. Be separated from God. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. By the way, Paul carefully defined for us what he's talking about here in Romans 8:13 over in Galatians 5, where he's talking about walking in the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5. In fact, turn over there with me and let's read this passage. Galatians 5, verse 16. Paul is very consistent with this teaching. Galatians 5:16. Paul says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. The list is longer. And the like. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But, watch the contrast. But the fruit of the Spirit, and notice Spirit's capitalized here. We're talking about what the Holy Spirit does in your life. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ, those who belong to Christ, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Now, the tendency of some is to equate being led by the Spirit by being led by impulse or impression. Well, the Spirit just moved on my heart and I felt this. You won't find that view supported in Scripture. And so the question is, what does it mean? What does it really mean to be led by the Spirit? Well, what has the Spirit done or is doing that will enable all of us to follow His lead? Look at Colossians 3:1 and following. Where Paul challenges us, he's really challenging us to walk in the Spirit. But since we've been risen from the waters of baptism, that's earlier in the previous chapter, what should we be doing? Seek those things which are above. Set your mind on things above. Put to death your members which are on earth. Put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language. Don't lie to one another. And then put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge. Now you might want to study that chapter this week, because it's pretty rich. So, wait a minute. What knowledge is the new man renewed in? Look at verse 16. Ephesians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. What knowledge is the new man being renewed in? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Isn't it obvious that the knowledge in which the new man is renewed is the word of Christ? The knowledge that the Holy Spirit inspired men to write is the knowledge by which we are led. Now, we're going to look at this again next week. But we are led by the Spirit when we listen to His voice through those who wrote the Word of God, the New Testament, the Bible. Through that Word, the Holy Spirit is in every way leading us. We're following the Spirit when we follow His precepts and His principles. Anytime we apply the Word of God to our lives, we are very pointedly being led by the Spirit. Why? Because we are being led by the Word of God that the Spirit revealed through holy men of God who spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, in the previous couple lessons, we talked about how that the Spirit does help us outside of the Word of God, especially in our prayers. But when you're talking about being led by the Spirit, or you're talking about walking by the Spirit, you can't be led by the Spirit or walk by the Spirit if you don't have the Word of Christ dwelling in you richly. Because that's how the Spirit leads us. It's through guidance. What did He do for the apostles? He brought to remembrance the things Christ said. He guided them into all truth. He told them of things to come. He gave them the knowledge that they needed to have. Now, we're going to continue this study through next Sunday. But tonight, realize that some think it's just too mundane and boring to study the Bible and then live accordingly. But that's exactly, again, how we're led by the Spirit. You simply can't be led by the Spirit in ignorance of the Word of God. And so, how are we led? Let that Word dwell in you richly. In 2024, read it more. And allow yourself to be led by the Holy Spirit. If you need to come tonight for any reason, please come now while we stand and sing.